What's up, y'all? My name is Alan Sheriff, aka Alwin, the Sheriff of all things innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that are making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Let's get into it. So I read an article from The Next Web. The first subject is science, and it talks about how NASA's innovative Advanced Concepts program has proposed building a lunar crater radio telescope on the dark side of the moon in order to study the history of the universe. You know what's kind of scary about this is that I think about the fact that the more we move instruments and other large devices away from the Earth, like telescopes, and put them on certain celestial objects, like, I wonder what else we'll be able to see. Like, we're able to, like, look into the past, right? But if we put it so far out, like, are we going to be able to see into the future? Like, that's kind of a scary thing. Like, am I going to see myself sitting on a couch eating a hamburger or something, looking all bloated, like, watching Teletubbies? I don't know. But that's hilarious to think about. Anyway, the article points out that with the help of this telescope, we could track the processes that led to the formation of the first stars, or maybe even find clues to the nature of dark matter. Once operational, the Lunar Crater Radio Telescope would allow astronomers to conduct extensive studies of the ancient universe at wavelengths greater than 10 meters in great detail for the first time. It also mentions how robotic technologies, possibly combined with artificial intelligence, could provide a means to build a telescope at a significantly lower cost, given the danger of the task it could pose to humans. Sometimes I think about the fact that God just might be looking down on all of us and he's just like, I told you guys not to search the universe. I gave you a planet to play on. Stay on the playground. Like, I feel like one of these days we're going to be able to see something with the telescope that we can't unsee. We'll probably see God on the toilet. You're like, what did I tell you? You're like, ah! God can use the bathroom? So that's where all the rain comes from. But on a serious note, I like telescopes. I've become more fascinated with them. I think about the fact that with telescopes, we're able to learn more about ourselves and our existence and the realities of the universe. And we're probably even able to discover alien civilizations along the way, which could be really awesome. But I think that what we do with these discoveries is far more important than anything that we could ever see with these telescopes. And I think that's probably what these aliens who were staring back at us, like out there in the universe, are probably thinking to themselves, you know, in the most incomprehensible and sophisticated and super technological way, is like, earthlings, you have to understand that what you do with the information that you receive is more important than anything. I am becoming more weary of the footprint that we could potentially leave on the universe. I think it's important that we learn how to become more resourceful when it comes to telescopes and such, because, you know, if we want to dispose of this material sometime, you know, later or whatever it is, or we decide to reuse these materials for various other reasons, we have to get smart on that. We do. And so we have to be extremely smart when it comes to, creating projects such as these. But yeah, at the end of the day, I love it. I love the idea. I hope we continue to push forward with it. The next subject is technology. And I saw this awesome video on Mashable. It's about a lamppost with an integrated wind turbine that produces its own renewable energy and only lights up when it's needed. Now, for all you scaredy cats out there who have been foregoing street lamps for the sake of climate change, our savior is here. Tobias Trubenbacher is here. He's the one who created the invention. But, you know, for some of us who have just been foregoing street lamps and stuff like that, who have just been going crazy, like, our savior is here, all right? The renewable energy lamp is here, all right? So we can feel safe walking, you know, at night, knowing that the lights are there for us, and then they'll turn off when we leave. But yeah, that's hilarious, though. The article points out that it was designed by the University of the Arts Berlin student Tobias Trubenbacher, and its aim is to reduce light pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. The name of the lamp is called Papilio, and it is a street lamp that generates electricity using an integrated wind generator and sheet metal rotor. The lamp stores electricity in a rechargeable battery and is equipped with an infrared sensor that allows the light to activate only when it's actually needed. This is going to irritate moths to come. Like, I feel like one day they're all just going to band together, come together as a family, and start attacking humans in the streets. Like, why did you replace all the street lamps? Like, we didn't mean it. It's the light's not good for you anyway, which is exactly a good transition into talking about this article real quick, because I love the fact that this student took everything into consideration. Like, I love this student. I love the fact that not only did he focus on reducing greenhouse gas emissions and reducing light pollution with this new technology, but he also focused on the bad health effects that comes with artificial light that we create. I read an article apart from this video in greater detail where he describes how artificial light can have bad health effects on humans, including sleep disorders, depression, diabetes, cancer, a various range of issues that comes with artificial light that people don't even realize. And he also talks about how artificial light can affect plants, you know, flora and fauna, you know, and I just think it's really awesome that he took all these things into consideration. Like, it's all just lumped into one package, and it's an awesome way of bringing an invention like this to the world and trying to help help, you know, a whole bunch of different societies just get on board with this. You know what I mean? Just implementing this and just putting it out there. You know what I mean? I think it's really awesome. I think he really did an awesome job. Plus, I love the name of it and the design too. The Papilio, the design is beautiful. I love the name. I think it's awesome. I hope he continues working on this and that we're able to mass produce it and show it to the world. And the last subject is psychology. I read an article from Neuroscience, and it talks about the link between cultural, linguistic, and biological diversity, and how the link helps to preserve both natural environments and indigenous populations. I was kind of confused about this article at first because I didn't quite understand it. And it sounded a bit contradictory to me because I was thinking about how human beings, ever since we've been here, it seems like all we've been doing is wrecking the environment. But I love this article because it specifically talks about the indigenous peoples in certain environments who have learned to manage those environments, and through managing those environments, they've helped to promote biological diversity. So basically, the article points out that the study looked at 48 localities in Africa designated by the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization as natural World Heritage Sites, and that after analyzing geographic information system data, they were able to overlap a majority of the indigenous languages with the sites. The researchers also found that the number of languages in these localities correlated with the number of species whose ranges of occurrence include these sites. The goal is to figure out how to share governance with the indigenous peoples, if necessary, regarding how the environment is constantly changing. I think this article really speaks to the power of our actions. I used to think, in some weird sense, that human beings were responsible for like all of the catastrophes on this planet. And oh man, this just bad perception of, oh, if we weren't, you know, if human beings weren't here, then, you know, the world would be such a much better place. But I think that this article really helped improve my perspective on this. It's not so much that human beings have just, we've already had this ill intent ever since we were born. It's more so that, you know, as indigenous peoples have demonstrated, when it comes to biological, cultural, linguistic diversity, we play a huge role in the environment. In terms of how we manage that environment and how we can coexist with the ecosystems, and us just kicking indigenous peoples, you know, off the lands and thinking that we can control and, you know, manipulate the land ourselves, it's just a selfish and disgusting way of taking certain actions and, you know, thinking that we have the technology and the know-how to, you know, control these environments. This is a very interesting study. I think it should continue to be looked at, you know, and developed out. I think that at the end of the day, we have to be able to understand the relationship that we have with our environments, you know, even if it comes to sharing, you know, governance over these ecosystems with indigenous peoples, because we feel like climate change might have a negative impact on their environments. Like, I think that it's important to look at this study, look at how those indigenous peoples have been contributing towards managing that ecosystem and figuring out what role we could play in helping them continue that. Like, and it's not even so much that. I think that we wouldn't even need to do all that if we would just solve the issue of climate change first. You know what I mean? It's really difficult, but I'm glad that this study was created. I think that it should continue to be looked at, and I really enjoyed reading it. I thought it was really awesome. Anyway, yeah, closing remarks, new environmental rules. Project development groups, Don't do any projects in any areas that are culturally, linguistically, and biologically linked. And if you do find an area that doesn't have any of those links, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will diversify the area. But thanks so much, y'all, for tuning into the ATS podcast. I really appreciate it. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you check me out. Make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And if you're watching this on any of my podcast hosting sites, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button. Also, if you're, you know, checking this out on NowOnTheSheriff.com, shoot, I mean, check out some of my merch, you know? Also, hit that $2 subscription button. For only $2, you can get early access to all of my content. And for only $5, you can get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content that I don't regularly promote on my channel. So please go check it out. All of it is awesome. Also, I want to give a special thanks to all of my viewers. Without you, these episodes would not be possible. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope to see you all on the next episode of the ATS Podcast.